Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Thanks for having me back.
Always great to have you. So I want to start by asking you, the listener, a question. What if the most common mutation happening in a man's body right now isn't like a tiny typo in the DNA, but the complete vanishing of an entire chromosome?
Yeah, it sounds a bit like science fiction, honestly, but it is happening.
Right. Picture this. There are millions of white blood cells circulating in your body right now. But as men age, some of these cells simply drop their defining Y chromosome. It just disappears.
Literally just drops out of the cell during division.
Exactly. So what really happens when your immune cells lose a massive chunk of their genetic blueprint?
Well, it creates a really profound biological shift. And for a long time, understanding the true scale of this shift was incredibly difficult.
Because we didn't have the tools to track it, right?
Right. We knew it was happening, but tracking exactly how often and in whom across the entire population, that required a massive technological leap.
Which brings us to today's topic. Today, we celebrate the work of Valeria Timonina Jacques Vallée and the team at the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne, EPFL, and the Swiss Institute of Bioinformatics, who have advanced our understanding of mosaic loss of the Y chromosome, or MLOY.
Yeah, and what they've done is incredible. They've built this computational method that fundamentally changes how we can observe this phenomenon.
And they didn't even have to run new lab tests, did they?
No, not at all. They did it by unlocking data that is already sitting in research archives all around the world.
That is just so cool. Okay, let's unpack this. We need to set the stage first. So the paper notes that MLOY, mosaic loss of the Y chromosome, is the most common somatic mutation in men. Wait, so this isn't something passed down from parents. Are the cells just getting sloppy as they divide?
Precisely. Yeah, the term somatic is the real dividing line here. This is not germline genetics.
Meaning you don't inherit it?
Right, you don't inherit it. This is a change that happens spontaneously in your somatic cells, specifically your white blood cells, as you age.
Just from normal wear and tear?
Basically, yeah. Every single day, stem cells in your bone marrow divide to create fresh blood cells. But, you know, biology isn't perfect. Mistakes happen.
Right.
Sometimes, as the chromosomes are being pulled apart into two new cells, a cell simply drops its Y chromosome entirely. And if that cell survives and multiplies, you end up with genetic mosaicism.
So you have a mosaic blood system. Like, most of your cells have the normal X and Y chromosomes, but a growing faction just has a single X.
Exactly. And losing an entire chromosome, as you can imagine, isn't just a harmless quirk.
Yeah, the paper outlines some pretty severe consequences for this.
It does. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this accumulation of cells without a Y chromosome increases exponentially with age. And it is strongly linked to a host of really serious health conditions.
Yeah, what kind of conditions?
We are talking about increased risks for all-cause mortality, hematological cancers, and so blood cancers, and even solid tumors in other organs, plus cardiovascular disease and Alzheimer's disease.
Wow, that is a massive list.
It is. In fact, many researchers in this field hypothesize that this progressive lifetime loss of the Y chromosome could partially explain the longevity gap between men and women.
That makes a lot of sense. So if this is happening so frequently and it's deeply tied to how long men live, it feels like something we should be tracking in every major health study, right?
Oh, absolutely. But historically, detecting MLOY has been a huge scientific roadblock.
Yeah, the paper details the old ways we used to look for it, and they sound incredibly limited.
They really were. For a long time, researchers relied on DNA genotyping arrays.
Arrays, like they just check specific spots.
Yeah, think of arrays like a biological scanner that only checks predefined spots across the genome. Methods like MLRRY or PARLY-Y use these arrays to estimate Y chromosome loss by, you know, looking for imbalances in signal intensity at those specific spots.
But they don't read the whole sequence, so I assume they miss a lot of context.
Exactly. They're inherently noisy.
Well, then why not just read the whole sequence? I mean, we have whole genome sequencing, or WGS, right, that reads every single letter of your DNA.
Oh, WGS is the gold standard, absolutely. There are tools that can calculate the exact number of chromosomes directly from WGS data. The problem is just the scale.
Ah, is it too expensive?
Extremely. WGS is incredibly computationally expensive and costly to perform. If you want to study hundreds of thousands of people to understand population-level aging, you usually can't afford it.
So what do they use instead?
They rely heavily on exome sequencing. Exome sequencing is way cheaper because it ignores the vast stretches of non-coding DNA. It only sequences the protein coding regions, the exons.
Got it. And because it's cheaper, we already have these massive global databases full of exome data just waiting to be analyzed.
Right, but there is a catch. Exome sequencing is notoriously terrible at reading the Y chromosome.
Yeah, the authors point out that the Y chromosome is just structurally weird. It's full of these amplicotic regions and X-transposed regions.
Yes, and those are a nightmare for sequencing machines.
For anyone not looking at a textbook right now, amplicotic regions are basically stretches of DNA that look like a genetic hall of mirrors, right? They repeat over and over, which totally confuses the machine.
That's a great way to put it. And those X-transposed regions look nearly identical to the X chromosome, which causes massive mistaken identity.
So the machines just get lost.
Exactly. When labs use commercial exome capture kits, they are optimized for the rest of the genome, the well-behaved chromosomes. Because of that hall of mirrors effect, the Y chromosome data comes back incredibly messy and uneven.
Plus, there's a chemical issue, right? The GC content bias.
Yes. The Y chromosome has regions heavily skewed with GNC bases, and the chemical makeup of those specific regions actually causes the sequencing algorithms to stutter. They just drop coverage.
So until now, there was no reliable mathematical way to cut through that noise and find MLOY from a single person's exome data.
Not without a perfectly matched control sample, no. It was just too noisy.
Which brings us to the core innovation of this paper, the new computational method called MOSCOVERY. It extracts this data purely from that messy exome sequencing coverage.
Yes, it is a brilliant solution.
So trying to read the Y chromosome is like trying to count specific books in a massive library filled with typos, duplicates, and missing pages. MOSCOVERY doesn't read the whole library. It just looks for a few very specific, unique books.
Oh, I love that analogy. That is exactly it. The genius of MOSCOVERY is its strict selectivity. The algorithm completely ignores those repetitive amplicotic regions.
It just refuses to look at the hall of mirrors.
Exactly. It strictly isolates just 13 single copy genes located in the X degenerate regions. We're talking about highly unique genes like SRY and ZFY.
Right. So these are the unique, well-behaved books in our messy library. But just finding those 13 genes isn't enough, is it? Because of that chemical GC bias we mentioned, the machine might still stutter when reading them.
And this is my absolute favorite part of the paper. This is where the methodological rigor really shines. They introduce this beautifully elegant normalization step.
Oh, yeah, the matching process.
Yes. For every single one of those carefully selected Y chromosome exons, MOSCOVERY searches the rest of the genome to find exactly 100 autosomal exons, so from non-sex chromosomes, that perfectly match the Y exon in physical length and exact GC chemical content.
Wait, really? It finds 100 perfectly matched reference exons for every single Y exon?
Yes. It is incredibly thorough.
So if the sequencing machine struggled to read a specific Y exon because it had a really dense GC chemical makeup, it also naturally struggled to read the 100 matched autosomal exon.
Precisely. By normalizing the coverage of the Y exon against those 100 identically structured autosomal exons, they completely smooth out the sequencing bias. It mathematically filters out the noise of traditional exome sequencing.
That is wild. You aren't looking at raw data anymore. You're looking at a stable ratio.
Exactly. It's such a genius step.
Okay, so it isolates the unique genes, normalizes them against the matched references, and then it has to actually figure out if the chromosome is missing. Let me make sure I follow the next step. They calculate the median of all those normalized values, and then they rescale the median to exactly 0.5.
Yes, they do.
Wait, why scale to 0.5?
Yeah.
Is it because men only have one Y chromosome? So it's haploid, meaning relative to the other chromosomes where they have two copies. The baseline coverage should naturally be exactly half.
You've got it exactly. Perfect normal coverage for the Y chromosome mathematically rests at 0.5 relative to the rest of the genome.
Okay, and then what?
Once they have that clean, rescaled distribution across a population, they apply a strict statistical threshold. Specifically, they calculate the interquartile range, or IQR.
Right, I've seen IQR in statistics before. You're basically taking all the data points, throwing out the top 25% and the bottom 25%, and looking at the middle 50% to find what is typical.
Right, and they take that middle range, multiply it by 1.5, and subtract it from the first quartile.
So they're essentially building a statistical fence. Anything that falls outside that fence is a true anomaly.
Yes, it establishes a hard, objective mathematical boundary. If your Y chromosome coverage drops below that specific fence, MOSCOVERY confidently flags you as having mosaic loss of the Y chromosome.
But obviously, a clever algorithm is just theory until it is stress tested on real human data. And they validated this on a massive scale, didn't they?
Oh, yes. They turned to the UK Biobank, which is one of the premier health datasets globally. They applied Muscovy to the exome sequencing data of 212,062 male participants.
Over 200,000 men. That is huge. And what did they find?
They found that 5.6% of these men had detectable mosaic loss of the Y chromosome. And on average, about 2.8% of the affected man's white blood cells had dropped the Y.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. They didn't just run Muscovy in a vacuum. They ran those older array methods, MLRRY and ParlowY, on the exact same group of men, right?
Yes, and this direct comparison is crucial. The ParlowY method actually flagged a lot more men, about 10.1%, compared to Muscovy's 5.6%.
So wait, doesn't that just mean the old method is more sensitive?
You might think so at first glance, but you have to look at what it was actually detecting. ParlowY was picking up individuals who had very, very low fractions of cells missing the Y chromosome, mostly under 10% of their total blood cells.
Right, which raises the question, does flagging those extra men actually mean anything for their real-world health? It's one thing to find a tiny cellular glitch, it's another to prove it causes disease.
Exactly, and the paper tests these results against known biological drivers of Y chromosome loss, like age and smoking.
Okay, let's look at those drivers. As men age, cellular machinery just naturally degrades. But smoking physically introduces carcinogens that cause DNA damage, right? So it actively accelerates how quickly these cells make mistakes and drop the chromosome.
That is exactly the biological mechanism. And when they modeled this, Muscovy's data showed the strongest statistical associations with those known drivers. It significantly outperformed the older array methods.
They also ran a genome-wide association study, or GWS, right? To look for links to inherited genetics?
Yes, they did. And they identified 36 independent genetic signals.
Let's ground this for a second. So finding 36 signals means they identified 36 distinct locations in a man's inherited genome that influence how likely his blood cells are to throw away their Y chromosomes decades later.
Yes. It is this fascinating intersection of inherited genetics driving somatic mutations over time. Certain inherited variations might subtly affect how chromosomes align during division. It might be a tiny inefficiency, but over decades, it compounds.
It's like being born with a car that has a very slightly misaligned steering wheel. It doesn't matter on day one, but after 50,000 miles, the tires are completely bald.
That is a fantastic way to visualize it. And Muscovy's data gave much sharper statistical confidence for these signals than the old methods.
Well, if this tool is that accurate in healthy blood, I imagine it's even more crucial in chaotic environments, like inside tumors.
Yes, and the researchers brought in data from the Cancer Genome Atlas, or TCGA, to test exactly that. They looked at nearly 2,000 men with primary tumors.
And the numbers are staggering. In healthy tissue, MLOY was around 7.8%. But when looking at tumor samples, Muscovy found MLOY in a massive 38% of male tumors.
It's a huge jump. And the variability was wild. In papillary kidney adenocarcinoma, an astonishing 89% of the tumors had lost the Y chromosome.
89%? That doesn't sound like a random accident. It sounds like the tumor is dropping the Y chromosome on purpose.
This is one of the most compelling areas of oncology right now. The sheer scale of Y chromosome loss implies it gives the tumor a survival advantage.
Like, maybe the Y chromosome has tumor suppressor genes.
That is one prominent hypothesis, yes. Genes like ZFY or UTY might act as brakes on growth. If the cell drops the chromosome, it cuts the brakes. Another hypothesis is immune evasion.
Oh, like putting on an invisibility cloak to hide from T cells.
Exactly. Dropping the Y chromosome might help the tumor hide from the male immune system.
So what does this all mean? If we have this tool that uses clever math and reference exons to read this data accurately, what is the big implication?
The massive implication is that researchers can now retroactively look at millions of existing exome sequences in global databases. They can extract vital data about male aging, cancer risks, and mortality without running new expensive tests.
That is a huge force multiplier for research, but of course there are guardrails. Could a doctor use Muscovy on a single patient tomorrow in a clinic?
This raises an important question, right? And the authors are very clear about the limitations. To run Muscovy, you have to completely repeat that complex exon matching procedure for every different commercial exome capture kit.
Oh, so if a lab switches from SureSelect to IDTXGen, the algorithm breaks.
Yes, it is not just plug and play. Furthermore, because it relies on cohort medians to establish that statistical fence, it's difficult to run on a single isolated clinical sample without reference data.
Right. So while it might not be in your doctor's office tomorrow for a solo blood test, it instantly supercharges population-level research into why men age the way they do.
Absolutely. To distill this down, Moskover Y provides a brilliant mathematical workaround to the messy structure of the Y chromosome, unlocking vast archives of exome sequencing data. By matching specific Y chromosome genes to perfectly paired autosomal exons, it provides a highly accurate, accessible tool for tracking chromosomal mosaicism at a population scale.
What does this mean for the longevity gap between men and women? And could tracking our shrinking chromosomal mosaicism be the key to extending our health span?
It is the billion-dollar question.
It really is. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Under fluorescent hush and midnight screens, I watch the coverage flow in quiet streams. Single copy echoes on a fading line, a chromosome slipping cell by cell in time. So match the pieces, GC length and light, set autosomes beside that ghost of white. Normalize the noise till patterns stand in view. A hollow signal turns precise and true. Draws up the tide and smoke rides heavy fractions when it's wide in tumor samples too. The drop can show a map of risk where hidden currents go. Not perfect, low fractions can slip unseen. Kits change the baseline, recalibrate clean, but still we trace what time and chance.